There's a church in Managua, Nicaragua, and I like them a lot. They gather to worship Jesus on Sunday evenings. Their singing is dynamic, upbeat, happy, where they use electric guitars, synthesizer, drums. They meet in an outdoor medical clinic building. They sit on long boards held up by cement blocks. They come from all over Managua in old rundown buses that are packed to the very top of the bus. And they're starting other congregations in nearby Nicaraguan towns. There are about 800 people. But the thing I like most about them is that they sit next to each other. And you might not think that's a big deal, but it is, because 5 years before I was there, these same guys were shooting at each other. Contra Sandinistas, civil war in Nicaragua, with rifles and grenades and knives and helicopters flying low and shooting at anything that moved. You've seen the Rambo movies? So have they. And they said, yeah, that's pretty much what it was like. If they saw somebody from the other side, they shot them. No questions asked, they just shot them dead. But now, Contras sit next to, share Bibles with, and serve communion to Sandinistas. Sandinistas now pray with, laugh with, and eat with Contras. They dig pits together. They carry cement together. They raise roofs together. Like Carlos says in his broken English, we no more kill. Christ make us brothers. There's a church in Managua, Nicaragua, and I like them a lot. There's a church in Cincinnati, Ohio, and I like them too. They had a group of people studying the Bible together, talking about Jesus coming back and how people needed to be ready, and they decided their group needed to do something to help more people be ready for when Jesus came back. And they decided one great way to do that would be to support missionaries who are starting new churches all around the world. But that meant coming up with more money. So they said, as a group, let's take a month and let's figure out how we can all give some money. When they got back together, each family told what they had decided to do to help get the word out. One family said they had decided that they were already giving 10% to their church. They would give 10% of everything that they had to this cause. One family said, we're giving up cable. We're going to use the money for something that really matters. One family said, well, we're planning a really big family vacation next year, but we're going to give the money now and we'll vacation in heaven later. Those were all good ideas, all about sacrificing something that they love for something even more important. But then one family said, well, we did our thing. We sold our house. And the other family said, wait, what? And this family explained. They said they'd been looking at how they spend their money. They realized a large portion of what God had given them was paying for their house, which they didn't actually need, a house as big as they had, so they sold it. And they said they bought another one. It was still a nice house that they bought. It's big enough, but it was less expensive. And now they had $350 a month that they could invest in getting the word out about Jesus. And other people in the group heard that, and they did the same. And other people in their church heard that, and they did the same. And that church funds tons of missions around the world, people telling others about Jesus. There is a church in Cincinnati, Ohio, and I like them a lot. I've got some favorite churches. Do you? If you do, I bet I can guess why. You like them because they do stuff. They make a difference. They're active in ways that matter in this world. The Apostle Paul had some favorite churches too, and one of them was from Thessalonica. And for the next several weeks, we're going to look at these people. By studying the letter that Paul first wrote to them, which is appropriately called 1 Thessalonians, which, by the way, is the first book of the five in a row in your New Testament that start with the letter T, 1 Thessalonians. 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus. The only books that start with T are all together in the New Testament. But the reason we're doing the series from this letter is not to improve your Bible trivia skill. It's not so that we'll fill in our time on Sunday mornings. Rather, we're going to look at this letter so that we can see why they were one of Paul's favorite congregations. We're going to look at what they were doing. Did you hear about the farmer who said, he said, I eat what fruits and vegetables I can, and what I can't, I can. Hopefully, we're going to learn how they were doing stuff, how they can do stuff, how we can do more stuff. Let's start with 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7, where Paul says this to the people who were following Jesus in Thessalonica. He said, and so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. That's their state in their country, Macedonia and Achaia. They modeled Christianity for lots of people in their region. Verse 8 says, the Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, your faith in God has become known everywhere. People were talking about this church. Paul's traveling around that part of the world, and people come up to him, and they keep saying, hey, what's going on in Thessalonica? We heard, what's up with that church? Paul said, in verse 8, your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we don't need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. I once had a guy come up to me and he say, hey, I heard about your church last week. And I said, oh yeah, where? He said, on the radio. I said, what? You heard about us on the radio? He said, yeah, I was driving up from the Southern Tier. I had the radio on, and all of a sudden, I'm listening to what a great church you have and how much you're helping people do life better. I said, on a radio? He said, yeah, some lady was really excited about your church. And then I remembered, we had gone to Kingdom Bound the week before, the Darien Lake thing, and after one of the main sessions, there had been questions and answers, and one of our ladies stood up and talked during the questions and answer. And the guy said, yeah, and from how she was talking, I figured you were standing right there slipping her lines to read. And I assured him I did not write for her because I could not possibly come up with anything as near as energetic and endorseful as what she was saying about us. And he said, yeah, she sure seemed excited about your church. How about that? People all over New York and Pennsylvania hearing about the Christians in Victor. But they didn't have a radio back in Paul's day. So how was the word getting around? So Thessalonica was a town that connected the East and the West back then. It's kind of like Chicago in the middle, or Las Vegas today. To travel from one side of the Roman Empire to the other side, you had to go through Thessalonica. And everybody did. Anybody who was traveling would go through this town. Thus, what happened in Thessalonica did not stay in Thessalonica. It spread throughout the known world there, which is why Paul so much wanted to get a church going there. He was so strategic. If he could get a group of Christians established in that town, they would infect people from all over as they traveled through. And he had done that. And this group was being talked about all over the world, which explains his prayer. Back in verse 2, in the very beginning of this, Paul opens up his prayer journal and he shows the Thessalonians that they're in there. In verse 2, he said, we always thank God for all of you, and we continually mention you in our prayers. So let's see what they were doing to merit that and then measure ourselves by what they were doing. The first thing that shows up in a group that is making a dent in the world, the first thing that shows up is the way they do life with other people is appealing. It's attractive. Paul writes in verse 4, for we know, brothers and sisters loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, deep conviction. The Thessalonians didn't just hear about Jesus' offer, they jumped on it, and it changed them. They had watched how Paul and his friends lived their lives, and they wanted to live like that. Paul wrote in verse 5, you know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. Paul says, you started to live differently. You started to live like Jesus lives. And people noticed that. Wherever Paul went, whoever he was preaching to, he always would challenge them to be like him. Lots of times today I hear Christian people say, Oh, don't be like me. I got a long way to go. Or leaders in a church will say, no, I don't want anybody to use me as a role model. I don't deserve that. But not Paul. Paul said, I was chief of sinners. Absolutely. But Jesus has me now, and I'm getting better. Follow me. In 1 Corinthians 11, he said, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Mike Bowers changed my mind on this one. Mike's a preacher in Clarence near Buffalo. He said, John, I have two sons, and they are going to imitate someone. They are going to look up to and want to be like somebody, and I want to be that guy. So I tell them every day, you guys, you follow me. What I do, you do. How I talk, you talk. How I treat people, you watch me, and you treat people like I treat people. And I know a bunch of guys in my life who qualify as excellent fathers. Mike is one of the best because he tells his sons every day, I follow Jesus, you follow me. And he does, and they do. Which is really different from the pickup truck that pulled up next to me at the first light in Canandaigua yesterday with music so loud that it shook my car. So I looked out my window and the girls in the back were so loud and laughing and pointing at me and singing a lyric that I cannot repeat right now. And then she yelled, I am Nicki Minaj. And then they sped away. We all imitate somebody. You get to choose who you want to imitate. This church imitated Paul. Wherever Paul goes, people talk about how much the Thessalonians have changed. Verse 8, the Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we don't need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell us, they tell how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. How about that? These people were known for living one way, and now they were clearly different. Churches that are doing something, first and foremost, churches that are doing something are seeing people change for good. People who used to be really tight are now known for their generosity. Guys who used to be abusive at home are now gentle with and safe for the people who live with them. People who used to clearly look out for number one now are noticing others and being attentive to their needs. We're talking major changes, big changes, miraculous changes. People who were slaves to a drug or alcohol are now dealing with life chemicallessly. People who get so angry before that they break things are now a calming influence in all the situations they're part of. People who used to fill their minds with crap stop watching those shows, stop clicking on those sites. People who used to listen to country music. I'm kidding. Kinda. Paul wrote to another church, and Paul said the same thing to those people. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6, don't you know that wrongdoers do not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. He said, and that's what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. People who follow Jesus used to do things like that, but they don't anymore. And when people stop doing stuff like that, it shows and other people can see the change. It has been cool over the years to watch we've had some unplanned high school reunions happen in our building. Some people who are part of our church grew up in this area. They went to high school around here. Some of the people who used to live wildly sinful lives have now, with God's help, made big changes, and they're part of our church. So when one lady walked in one day, and she saw a guy here that she had gone to high school with, here in our church building, she said, and I quote, no way, no way. And then she found out he was a leader of our church, and she said, and I quote, well, no, I can't actually quote her. But she was surprised, and as she got to know him, as he is now, she said, you are not the same guy I went to school with. And she's right, he's not. He's a new guy. Jesus is making him better every day. That's what happens to people who let Jesus train them on how to do life. And it's happening to people who are part of our church. We're not perfect, but we're better, way better than we used to be, trusting our Father to take us farther. Visibly, noticeably different, better. One more Darien Lake reference today. They have a booth at Darien Lake where for $2, a guy will guess your age, your birthday, or your weight. And if he's not close, you win a dumb prize. The kids I was with were fascinated by this guy. We stood there for like 15 minutes one day. I mean, they have rides, and we're watching this guy guess. We watched him for a long time. Eventually, I said, okay, let's go talk to him. So we wandered over, and in between guessings, I talked to him about what he does. He said, guessing the month is not hard. He said, I get to be within 3 months, so whatever I guess, I got 7 out of 12 covered. I mean, mostly I win. He said he'd worked there for 3 summers. He said the age is the hardest for him. I said, oh, not the weight? He said, no, with the weight, I get to be within 3 pounds. So again, I have 7 pounds to work with. He said, every year when I'm guessing weights, I give out lots of prizes the first week, but by the second week, I get like 8 out of 10 right all the time. The kids I was walking around with were so surprised every time he got the weight right, we were watching. And as we walked away, one of the kids said, he could never guess me. He said, I can't even guess me. People following Jesus in Thessalonica were noticeably different in how they were living. Are you noticeably different? Can other people see it in you? Can you see it? Churches doing church right are full of changed people. Another characteristic of churches that Paul thought were great, people could see the big picture. Verse 8, the Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we don't need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell us how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. A church that's going to be noticed is a group of people who are keenly aware of what's coming Or should I say, who's coming? Paul had taught the Thessalonians that Jesus is coming back soon. And they understood that, and they thought that mattered. He's coming back. They counted on it. They planned on it. They made decisions by it. Like, let's say you hear a hurricane is heading our way, and the path of the hurricane is supposed to go directly over your house tomorrow. And so far, this hurricane has destroyed every home within a 5-mile radius of its path. So, are you still going to have the installers come and add that $10,000 of new wood flooring in your home? Are you still going to add that $10,000 for the window insulation? You're throwing another $5,000 for really fine landscaping work around your house today? Or would you board up your home and take your money and your kids and go somewhere else for a week? Paul taught the Thessalonians that Jesus is absolutely coming back to take over. And they said, well, since that's the case, that impacts how we make decisions. Was my hurricane example too preachery? How about this one? I know 3 people who are connected to our church who are staring death in the face today. Like they're fighting hard. But we're still not sure whether they're going to make it or not. One of the 3 admits to having no relationship with God. Doesn't get it, doesn't want it. One of the 3 didn't have a relationship until this happened, but now this has pushed her towards him, and she is growing fast. And the 3rd one has been serving Jesus, doing kingdom work his whole life, and is rock solid. Now, none of the 3 of them is happy with what's going on in their lives right now. They would all love to live a long, normal lifespan. But the 2 who know Jesus is coming back are able to face the hardness they're in now with hope. And I'm hoping that our church can help all 3 of them be ready for whatever happens to them next. Because there might not be a hurricane coming our way, but judgment is. So we should do something. Did you hear about the guy who wrote down everything he needed to do today, but he can't find the paper? He said he feels so listless. The church that understands that the world is heading somewhere plans for that, acts on that. That's a church that has something important enough to live for. There is a heaven, and there is a hell, and there is a hurry, which is why the Thessalonians strategized and sacrificed and suffered to do the most possible good in the shortest possible time. They said, Jesus is coming back, and lots of people don't know that yet. But they did, so they did stuff. We know he's coming back, which is why Willowbrook has always been right in the middle of Mountain View Christian Camp, because kids go down there and spend time in the summer with adults, the adults who follow Jesus, and kids see how life should be lived, and they go home and they do it, and they grow up and they raise families with Jesus in the center. That's why we know Jesus is coming back. That's why Willowbrook has always supported Grzeszewskis and the Rodriguez's and McSavenys. That's why we're thrilled that Adam leads a Bible study in his high school. That's why we're thrilled that Seth wants to get the restart our young adult stuff going. That's why we happily partner with Centerway and New Revival and FUMSI and Victor Community. We're all of those people working to get more people to sign up with Jesus as their personal trainer. It's why we have groups who encourage each other here, sifting through scripture, asking God's help, planning ways we can convince more people that Jesus is for real and that he's coming back and that they need to know him. One more thing we can see from this first page of Paul's letter to one of his favorite congregations that is, in order for a group of Christians to have impact in life, they don't have to be old, they don't have to be rich, they don't have to be big. Sometimes preachers imply that you have to be a mature believer if you want to ever do anything for the kingdom. Or a church needs to have an $11 million budget and a crystal cathedral building and TV shows to amount to anything. Or that a group of 120 could never actually influence a town, much less a whole county. Or that kids are the future, church of the future, but they should just play dodgeball now. But there's something that you need to know about Thessalonians. Do you know how this church started? Do you know how their church started? In Acts 17, Paul came to town, and he went to the Jewish synagogue, and he talked to some Jewish guys there, and some of them decided to follow Jesus. And he talked to some of their good Greek friends, and some of those guys decided to follow Jesus. And then he talked to some of the women who were eavesdropping on all those first conversations, and they decided to follow Jesus. And Paul did that for 3 Saturdays. And in between, he went out and talked in town to anybody who would listen to him. And several idol-worshipping people decided they wanted to follow Jesus too. For 3 weeks, Paul taught them, but then Paul got canceled. Jewish leaders hired rent-a-mob, and they ran him out of town. Paul had taught and baptized a whole bunch of people, both Jews and non-Jews, and the leaders of the Jewish synagogue said, no more of that. I saw a mat once at an exit door. The mat, as you left the building at the exit door, it had 4 words written on it. It said, don't stop, be leaving. They showed Paul out the door. They said, out of town. Actually, they were trying to kill him, so he left. But what I'm trying to say is 3 weeks was all the training they got. After that, they were on their own to be the Christians as best they could. But with only a short amount of instruction, their light shone all around the world. We can make a dent in our world. They did, and we can too. Our church, this church, can become the talk of Victor or the talk of Rochester or the talk of Western New York. But we need to do the same stuff they were doing, which starts with genuine change. Turning from idols, turning to God. Noticeably so, changing, turning. That means we devote ourselves to our kids. We give preschool kids more than the 37 seconds that most dads give their preschool kids each day. It means we speak the truth in love. When we see a problem, we have a problem with someone, we go to that person and we deal with it. We don't talk to other people about that. It means amongst us, there's not even a hint of sexual immorality. Not even a hint. It means we fill our minds with God's thoughts. We forswear what comes from the pit. They gave up their idols. And we say, they worshiped idols, those silly primitive people. You know what idols are? Idols are what you look to, what you look at as you search for meaning in life. Something you look at when you're looking for meaning in life. Do you know that the Sabres just finished their season? Do you know how many hours I invested of my life in the Sabres this year? I invested so many hours in the Sabres that I didn't have enough time to devote to the Mets. Can sports be too important to people? One guy said, my wife left me because she said I put sports ahead of our relationship. We were together 6 seasons. I don't know. What do you look at? Idols are what you look at for meaning in life. Game of Thrones? Did you see Game of Thrones? You know the Game of Thrones got sued by, they sued porn sites for stealing their stuff because the porn sites were showing Game of Thrones scenes with no changes. They just showed the scenes. Apparently some Game of Thrones scenes qualified as suitable material for a porn site. And that made them so mad they sued. Game of Thrones sued. Do you know anybody who watched Game of Thrones? How about 1923? Great show, sheriffs, safaris, sharks, interesting people were watching the show. But then there was that stuff at the end. Wow. Just wow. Do you remember the string who walked into the bar and asked for a beer? But they threw the string out. They said, we don't serve your kind here. So the string walked back in and said, I want a beer. They threw him out. He said, we don't serve strings here. So the string went out, and he tangled himself all up, and he frazzled some of his ends, and he walked back into the bar, and he asked for a beer, and the bartender said, sure. He said, oh, wait a minute. Aren't you that string that was just in here? And the string said, nope, I'm afraid not. If we call evil something else, is it any less evil? Is it possible we have watched so much evil we don't even recognize it as such? A friend told me I should watch an old movie. I'd never seen it. They said it's great. Really? They said, well, it's not too bad. I mean, it's an old movie, not too bad. I said, I bet you if I watch that movie in the first 3 minutes, there's something grossly unchristian in it. So I tuned in. It was exactly 1 minute into the movie that a man took a screwdriver and embedded it in another man's forehead. And I'm sure the rest of the movie about keeping that speeding bus from blowing up was very entertaining. But you gotta draw a line somewhere, don't you? Turn from idols, and we say, oh, they carved rocks. They made little porcelain fat belly guys. We don't do idols. But maybe today idols just come with way more pixels than they used to. And we do look to them to figure out how life is really supposed to go. The Thessalonians did, but then some of them stopped doing that, and they followed Jesus, and people noticed. In verse 2, Paul says, we always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, a couple more stories, then we're done. A girl in high school has a good friend, but her friend is not into Jesus at all. And that really hurts the girl. She wants her to know Jesus. She wants her to live life right. She wants her to go to heaven. So she invites her friend to go to Christian camp with her one summer. And the friend agrees. But the day camp starts, the Christian girl is so sick she can't leave her house. The doctor says she has to stay home. She begs her girlfriend to go to camp anyway. Her girlfriend says, you're not going. She said, go anyway. So her girlfriend does. She heads to Mount View, not knowing anybody there. And she shows up and has a great time and hears the gospel and chooses to follow Jesus. And she goes home and she brings her family to a church, and then she brings her family to Christ. And the world is way more like God intended it to be because of the work produced by the faith of a teenager who was sick. How about labor prompted by love? A church in North Carolina had some members who owed big medical bills, and they didn't have any money. They were very poor. They could not pay, but the debt collectors kept threatening them. So the church talked about that, and they decided charity actually belongs to the church, not the government. Church should take care of people. So the church went and talked to the debt collectors, and they found out the debt collectors were willing to settle for pennies on a dollar. The church could pay off the debt at a discount. So the Christians said, well, how much to pay off everybody's debt in our county? And the company said, well, 3,000 families owe $3.3 million. We'll settle for $15,000. So the church came up with $15,000 and freed 3,000 families in their county from medical debt. Turns out there's a church in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and I like them a lot. One more. Paul praised the Thessalonians for their endurance. Inspired by hope, they were willing to wait on God even when things were hard. They waited on God to come through on what he said he would do. Ron Bruno is a missionary in Guatemala. He tells of a poor widow in their congregation who was down to her last 20 cents, and she had no food in the house. So she prayed and she asked God to help her because she had no food and no money. And as she finished praying, she felt a deep conviction that she should go to the supermarket the next day and fill up several carts and take them to checkout stand 7. She said it was the strangest thing she'd ever thought in her life. But the idea stuck in her head. All night long, she just kept thinking, checkout stand 7. So the next day, she did just that. She went to the store. She loaded up enough groceries for 3 months. She took their carts to the checkout stand 7. And just as she got there, the cashier closed the stand for lunch. The cashier suggested that the old lady take her carts to another lane. And the Christian lady said, I cannot. My father told me I have to take these carts through checkout stand 7. And the cashier said, well, do what you want, but I'm going to lunch. And the lady waited right there until he returned later, very surprised to see her still standing there. But he started to check her out. And as he did, this announcement came over the loudspeaker in the store. It said, this is our store's 7th year of business. And we are pleased to announce whoever is checking out at checkout stand 7 right now gets free groceries today. New followers of Jesus, old followers of Jesus, groups of followers of Jesus, doesn't matter. If we will choose today to be real followers of Jesus and turn away from idols and turn to God, if we will live in light of Jesus' very real and imminent return, we can make a difference. We can help people live better. We can light up these parts. We can. Us, our church. We might even get mentioned on the radio for doing good. Or better yet, God might say, there's this church in Victor, and I really like them. Let's commit ourselves to Jesus. Let's do the Lord's Supper together.